Hello and welcome to my podcast, Off the Rails, which I haven't done for a while. So we're back with a bang. We're going to call this one the September Reset. And today I am joined by Jenny. Jenny is from a company called A Good Moment. She's going to take us through in a moment. There we go. I've said that twice already. But she's going to take us through exactly what her company is all about. I've spoken to Jenny a few weeks ago, and there's so much we're going to unpack today, not only on what it is that the ethos of her whole company, but how that can come into a female working at home, such as myself, is where I find the relativity in this overall kind of topic. So, Jenny, I'll hand over to you, if you don't mind taking us through a little bit about who you are and what your business is about. And yeah, that'd be a great starting point as kick us off into our topic today.
Sure, sure. Well, firstly, thanks for having me on, Claire. Yeah, really looking forward to this one. As you say, we connected a few weeks ago and we had so much to talk about. So yeah, a podcast definitely is the way to do it. But yeah, my name is Jenny Douglas and I'm the founder of A Good Moment Company. I am a professional declutterer and organizer. And what I do is I basically help people get calm and a bit of kind of a sanctuary feeling back into their lives through the power of decluttering an organization. And I suppose how this all came about for me, you know, it is quite personal. A couple of years ago, I unfortunately had to go down a whole IVF route because myself and my husband were having issues having a child. And we did that for nearly 6 years, and we do have a lovely little boy now, which is amazing. But then only when he was 2 years old, I was also diagnosed with breast cancer out of the blue. So for a person who's quite controlled, quite organized, you know, type A personality, into planning, into being in control of every element of my life, this was a really weird period of my time where I just didn't have control. And I had a lot of decisions that were taken out of my hands. And I really had to be way more relaxed and kind of just go with the flow, which was a bit alien to me, as I say. But one thing I did to try and claim back as much control and to make my home as much of a sanctuary as possible during that difficult period was to declutter and organize it and make it work that my home did feel like a sanctuary. And it took away all that overwhelm, all that chaos, all that kind of stress and anxiety that I had going on in my life. When my home was decluttered and organized, I could sit back, I could relax, I could enjoy good moments, whatever they may be in my life, and not be stressed. You know, having a home that was a sanctuary for me was hugely important. And yeah, I realized, wow, this is really, really impactful. You know, it can have such a positive effect on people's lives. And I realized when I was going through treatment then later on that this was something I wanted to try and do myself as a business. I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, always wanted to have my own business, but I wasn't sure kind of what route to go. My background was in fundraising and marketing for charities, and so I was helping people there. But then I realized this was a really nice way to help people, but also have the flexibility and my own business at the same time. So yeah, just about as of last week, a year ago, I launched A Good Moment Company, and it's just been going from strength to strength. And yeah, I have so many clients now in person and online that I help. And it's just a really nice business that I love doing. It's a passion I have, always have had since I was a child. And it's great now that I'm able to kind of give back and give that to others as well.
Yeah, I think that's nice. First of all, congratulations on a year in business.
Thank you.
I think anybody that is an entrepreneur and is going through, you know, your own business and how to manage that, because it's spinning all plates. You're marketing yourself. Yeah. You're actually doing the doing. You're out there meeting clients. You're trying to maintain, grow, all those things. So, yeah, a year in business is a hefty one. However, I think what is nice about your story so far is, you know, the genuine story. It's something that you needed when everything else wasn't going as planned. So you kind of hung on to this. Okay, this is, as you've said, this is my control. This is what I feel good about. And it helps me kind of feel centered when everything else is so chaotic and uncontrollable. And I think when a business arises, regardless of what it is, I think in my opinion anyway, 9 times out of 10, people buy into the person. So if you've lived through something yourself and you find that this is your solace, people are, that's how I feel. You know, it might not be completely relative, like for like, what people are going through, but it could be, yeah, I feel a certain way about my this part of my life, but if I can control this, and you've been through that yourself, you're going to know exactly how to.
Yeah, no, I can totally relate because I've been there. Like, I am an organized person, so my home would have been, you know, somewhat organized, but that sense of overwhelm, out of control, didn't know where to start, chaotic brain was just going the whole time. I can relate to my clients because I know those feelings and I know how kind of, you know, detrimental they can be sometimes to a person and your well-being. So it's all about trying to reverse that as much as possible. And, you know, I can be there on the day with them, be it in person or online. And, you know, there's no judgment. You know, I'm able to relate to them. I'm able to understand the feelings that they're going through at that point, and I know why they want to do this most of the time as well. So it's all about getting them from, you know, from A to B in a really nice environment, in a nice relaxing way that makes it enjoyable for them, and it means then that they'll want to continue it after I'm gone then as well. And I suppose the different type of services I do for them, you know, it can be very different. It depends on the type of person they are. Like, as I said, I can be in person where I do, you know, decluttering organization with them. And, you know, that could be a room, it could be a house, it could be, you know, their garden shed, it could be their business, it could be their home office, whatever it may be. You know, I have that element, but then I also have a virtual element as well, which is a little bit more of kind of a coaching service, which I do kind of step by step with them. So that's a little bit more flexible, maybe even a bit more cost effective, and it's got that accountability there. So if they prefer to do the work themselves but they want somebody else to kind of expert support them on the way, that's another option I do. And then there's a couple of other things I do as well. I help people who are moving home, so help them to declutter and somewhat pack up the items before the big move. But then on the other side as well, I help them unpack and get all those systems in place so that they are set up from day one in their new abode. So taking all that stress, all that worry, like there's so much you need to do and organize when you are moving house. And that's just one element, you know, you can outsource and I can take that off their hands. I also kind of work a little bit around space planning as well. So if people are revamping a room or a house or getting new furniture in, I'm able to sit down and work with them and figure out what is the best way, where to put things, if they need to get new storage, if they need to kind of work out the flow of the room and kind of have designated zones, I can all do that as well. And finally, I'm only a year in business, but the last couple of months I've started doing a lot of speaking gigs as well. I kind of do workshops, be on panels, go into corporate settings and give talks as well, and guests on podcasts as well, and spreading the word as much as possible, you know.
Exactly, which is amazing. I think any way to reach reach a client or a customer, you know, you just explained you can do it digitally, whereas I think naturally somebody thinks, okay, somebody in your line of business, you need to be in the room, you need to look at exactly where things need to go. But the fact that you can coach somebody, and if that person is, you know, self-advocating for, okay, well, I can do this, I need some direction, but I know I can hold myself accountable when I actually need to do it, then that kind of opens more doors as to, okay, actually I don't need to see a person in person, I can do this virtually as well, which is,
like, there's so many different kind of personalities out there and different situations. Like, there's people who've come to me that have been from outside Ireland and other countries as well, so obviously it's not physically possible all the time for me to go, even though I had some international clients. But some people also as well, the flexibility around that is really good as well, you know, and or they mightn't feel that they need someone there that they can't do it themselves. They just need a little bit of a helping hand. So yeah, it's great. I have a lot of clients who kind of come back to me kind of zone by zone or room by room, you know, as and when it suits them, and kind of we can do it over, you know, a longer period of time.
Yeah, I think there was one piece of advice you gave, or when we previously spoke, I was decluttering my wardrobe, which I'm always doing. I'm a big fan of Vinted, so I'll often like take it out of my wardrobe, picture it, put it on Vinted, and it'll go into another place. But even though in my head I'm decluttering, I'm actually not, I'm just moving one thing to another. Mm-hmm. So I had kind of spoke to you about, okay, I've got this massive vintage kind of box, bag, whatever it was. And after a certain amount of time in my head, I was always, okay, if it doesn't, it's only older clothes. If it doesn't sell after 6 weeks, I'll put it into charity. And I didn't. And it was all in my bedroom. And I remember you saying, you know, your bedroom should actually be one of those places you look at first, because it's a place that you should go and feel zen. You start your day there and you finish your day there. And I was like, oh yeah, that's so obvious now that somebody else says it and puts it into perspective. However, my bedroom was always, okay, as soon as the washing is done, it'll go in a pile in there until I sort it. If I'm sorting out my wardrobe from things that don't fit, they're old, I've no connection with them anymore, I'll put them out of my wardrobe and I'll put them somewhere else, but I'm still looking at it. So in the reality of it, my bedroom was one of the most chaotic places. Because I treated it as, actually, I just go there to sleep.
Yeah, and it's so important. You know, like, it's so, so important. I say that, like, if I'm ever doing more than a couple of rooms, if someone hires me to do their whole house, I actually always start with the bedroom, even though it mightn't be the most cluttered room or the room that's giving the person the most stress. It's because when you're going to sleep, like, the last thing you want to see is visual clutter. And it's that visual clutter that gets into our brains and causes so many side effects, which I'll talk about. And also then it's the first thing you're seeing when you wake up. You know, so it's going to give you bad quality of sleep. You're going to wake up going, oh, it's still there, I still haven't done this. And it's all about our mindset. You know, it really is. Like, a lot of people are like, but it's just, you know, throwing out a few things. It's just, you know, moving things around or putting things in boxes. It's way, way, way more than that, than tidy boxes. It really is all around our mindset. It really is about setting ourselves up to have the best day, to have all those good moments, hence the name of the company. It's letting ourselves, you know, put up boundaries and go, no, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to do that. It's about self-care. It's about your well-being. And, you know, I love talking about this because I know myself, it's had such an impact on my life, and I can see it now. My clients, like, all my testimonials from people afterwards, all the texts I get, you know, not even just days after, months later, people going, oh my God, Jenny, I've still got the system going, and it's done this, that, and the other. And as a consequence, I've now gone on and done X, Y, and Z. And, you know, it's really, really powerful. But the first thing it is all about your mindset. And I think one thing we have to do is kind of reframe perfection, because we all have it in our head sometimes that we have to be 100% on everything. It has to be perfect. We do need to have those Instagram friendly, you know, amazing pictures with decanted this and decanted that and boxes with labels. And that's all well and good. And I do that for a lot of my clients. But knowing that a system that works for you and your family and the functionality of your family and your daily lives, that's way more important than, you know, an amazing looking photograph that you might send on to a friend. We need to get the systems in place for you that you will actually use on, like, a busy Wednesday afternoon, you know, not something that, you know, looks pretty for one day, but it's not easy to maintain then afterwards. And the next thing I'd always say about mindset is, before you start anything, it's about knowing why you want to do this. That's so, 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 so important. Like, before I touch anything when I go to a client's house, you know, usually on a phone call prior to me arriving out, or when I get there on the day itself, I'll always ask why they want to change the way they want to change that room or that space. And it's rarely just like, say it's the kitchen table. It's rarely like, oh, I just want to have a clear table, you know, I just want, you know, there's so much stuff that's the dumping ground for all my work stuff when I work downstairs, or when I bring the shopping in, my handbag's always there, the kids' stuff is always landing on the kitchen table. It's not about just having a clear kitchen table. It's about, actually, when you get down to the, you know, nitty gritty of it, we want to have family meal times again together. I want to sit down and have a conversation with my family in a nice space that I'm not looking at visual clutter. I'm not getting distracted, or I'm not even able to sit at that table because there's so much there. So we end up sitting on the couch and watching TV and not speaking to each other. So it's all about those kind of scenarios. So it's not like, when you name the purpose, you unlock way more motivation for you to actually one start, see it through and maintain it going forward. And that's really important because, as I said, when we see that visual clutter and, you know, like I used to look over there and see like loads of clothes on a chair in my bedroom, I'd be like, oh, I still haven't put them away. God, you're terrible. Why won't you do that? We have all these negative self-deprecating language going on in our brains, and we're talking to ourselves in a really negative way. And that is just not, one, it's not necessary. And two, it's definitely not something we should be sustaining. So we need to talk kinder to ourselves. We need to be, you know, it's like, okay, I see those clothes on the chair there. I still haven't put them away, but I was busy today. So I'm going to carve out 5 minutes now and just put them away, and that will be done. So instead of, you know, we just need to reframe it and be more positive in the way we speak to ourselves and the way we think about what our capabilities are. Because, you know, when you're kinder to yourself, again, you feel those endorphins and you keep things moving and you'll maintain things like that a lot more.
That's so true. I can relate to that. So I was away at the weekend and I had my bag. It's been, again, in the bedroom since I've come back, and I'm like, gonna do that. Must put everything in the wash, must do this. And it sat for, I think, 48 hours. And I did exactly that. I kind of, God, Claire, you're so lazy. Oh, my God, you should have done that by now. But I had a full-time job. I started a new full-time job. So my head is kind of like, at the moment, taking in more information than I ordinarily would. So I've just to what you've said, it kind of, I also did a bit of that yesterday. I spoke to myself in a negative way and I was like, God, give yourself a break. It'll happen. It's been a day and a half. I'll put it away and it's fine and I'll get it sorted.
Well, that's good that you're able to speak like that back to yourself, because a lot of people don't, you know, and that's where they get really overwhelmed. And that's when, the extreme element of that is, you know, down to a point where people are hoarding things and just don't know where to start, and then they're just in this really negative cycle. But like, you were able there to kind of go, no, hang on, give yourself a break. Like, geez, it's only been a day, I've just been super busy, and that's fine. Like, you know, I'm the exact same. Like, I put up a little reel there on my Instagram. Like, I went into my son's bedroom yesterday in between virtual clients and I was like, holy God, this is like the Tasmanian devil has just been in here. Like, he was in there, but there was also things that I hadn't put away. And I was planning to do a bit of a reset and take out all his summer gear and put in. But like, my first instinct was, oh my goodness. Like, and I was like, this is embarrassing. I'm a professional organizer. But like, let's be realistic. We're people at the end of the day. Exactly. We have full-time jobs. So, you know, even if we don't have full-time jobs, we have busy, busy lives and we're time poor. And, you know, yes, we have to put priorities and things. And for some people, this is just not a priority. But if you can kind of make small little habits of changes, and one of them is talking kinder to yourself, you will end up getting to a point where you'll be like, okay, I'm fine with that being a bit messy for the next 3 or 4 hours while I get this done. But I'm going to carve out a bit of time later on to, you know, just quickly wrap that up and get it all tidy and organized again. And once you have all those systems, and once you've decided that everything in your house, which it should, have its own place, have its own home, have its own zone, once you realize that and have that initial system in place, putting things back, getting things tidy, getting things organized will become really, really quickly. And you'll end up doing it like second nature. It's like habit stacking. You'll just be like, okay, when I put a wash on, you know, I automatically put a dry on, or I automatically take those dry clothes upstairs and I'll put them straight away. And it's all these little habits that we build and stack upon each other to just become the norm. And you just end up doing them second nature, you know?
Yeah, everything kind of has its place in time. And I think that's, you know, just listening to what you've said, like with clients and how I can relate to that as well. And anybody listening to this podcast is, you know, there is a bigger picture. It's not, can I just make a room nice and tidy? Yeah. There'll be a deeper purpose. Like you've said, I can relate to it right now as an example. I sit at my dining room table and this is where I work from. I get distracted several times a day because my husband comes in, but like what you're saying, Tasmanian devil uses about 100 things to cook the most simplest dish, but he does it anyway. And I look over all the time and I'm like, oh my God, I can't concentrate in this meeting because of that. But I've learned that I'll get to it after the meeting, or when I finish my meeting, he'll come in and he can make all the noise washing the dishes and he'll do it. I know it will get done. So I've had to get used to that, because that's my distraction. That would have been where that gives me literal anxiety, because I like
the problem. We're we're walking around with this like low level hum of anxiety all the time. Our cortisol levels are just rising as the day goes on. And like the funny thing about cortisol as well, you know, obviously it happens to both men and women, but actually for women, it rises much quicker, first of all, because well, for so many reasons, you know, but, you know, it just does within women. And therefore, actually, to try and get that back down, it's a much, much slower process than men, first of all. Yeah. So, you know, bear that in mind. But also a good way to help that, stop it rising so quickly and so high, is scheduling. And, you know, a lot of people have the desire to declutter and organize and tidy and do whatever it is that makes their family life really functional and work well. Like they have the huge desire to do it, but one, they don't know where to start.
Yeah.
But the big thing I always say is actually just schedule it in. You know, it's not something like, oh, I'm going to do that later. Well, when, you know, when do you have 15, 20 minutes? When do you have a half an hour? You want to do your wardrobe. When do I have an hour to go through everything? Put all those vintage items into that box or basket and actually move them out of the room. Yeah. Like if we can schedule time in and actually do it like it is a meeting, do it like it is like a drop off the kids to school, do it is like going for coffee with the friends, block something in my diary, like my diary every day for work, you know, is blocked out in meetings or if I'm with a client, what time it is and whatnot. Then I have like pickup of my little one from school, after school. Then I have to go do the shopping. Like I schedule that in. I've got it either written down or in my phone. I know when I'm going to do that. So we should do the same for decluttering and organizing because one, it will get done. And two, then you'll see those benefits. And as I say, all those endorphins keep going in your body and you'll want to do it. And then it just becomes very, very natural. But it's a case of making sure that you have time to do it, because if you don't schedule it, then the negative thoughts come back in and then it just becomes, as I say, that vicious cycle. So
yeah, and it all of a sudden becomes a big weight again, whereas if it becomes part of your routine, as hard as it may be to kickstart it, once it does, it's just second nature. It's just something you do, like
getting. And that's what I do. A lot of clients get me in for that big initial kickstart, and it's get those systems in place that make it really easy for them to maintain going forward. You know, and like those little maintenance rules I have. You know, like you know, don't put it down, put it away, so you're not double jobbing. Like when you come in the evenings, don't put your jacket and your keys just like hanging over the hallway or the banister or the stairs. Actually put them away where they're supposed to be, because if you don't do it, then you're going to go into the kitchen, get the dinner on, do this, that and the other, put the kids to bed, and then you come back down and go, oh, I have all this stuff here I need to put away. If you do them at the initial point, you're saving yourself time, you're saving yourself stress, you're saving yourself those negative thoughts looking at visual clutter. Like it's really, really handy to make these little systems become just not normal, natural habits for you and your family. Like I have my little kid now, a little video as well of him putting his jacket into a basket in the hallway when he comes home from school every day. His shoes go into another basket and then we slot the school bag in between. And that's like, he's only in school. He just started school last week. So he's in what, 4 or 6 days now. And that's a habit formed. He's been doing it every day since, you know, well, since I showed him what to do, basically, you know. And that's, it's great. It gives them a sense of ownership as well. And that pressure has come away from you, you know. And so you don't have all these, you know, stresses and low level of anxiety that you have to do everything. You can share the wealth, you can get other people in your family or who you're living with, you know, trained up, as I say, to be at the same level as you. And so everybody is contributing towards the smooth running of a home.
Yeah. And I think, like you say, if it's ownership, then it can become celebratory, because it's okay, well, I did that. And I'm really happy. Look, I didn't think I would be capable of doing X, but I've got to it and I'm really happy. It's my environment now. I love being in this space because of that very reason. And it just becomes second nature. And I think what is kind of a nice segue to what you've just said, like your little boy is at school, he's got into a routine, it's very early. I wanted to talk about like September and the refocus. So through yourself and through lots of different things on social media, I very much want to take this September quite different than I have before. And I kind of had this aha moment of, you wait until January, most people, okay, well, it's this time of the year, we're almost done with this year, there's only 4 months left, I'll wait until January to create that routine or create that sequence. However, when you think about at the end of the year, everybody's kind of tired. It's cold. January is always a month where there's a lot of negative talk around with no money, don't feel like it, I've put on weight, whatever it is, there's all these kind of different things. Whereas if you rewind to where we are now, everybody, or at least a lot of people, have been fortunate enough to be on a go on a holiday, feel refreshed, had some time off, spent time with family, and we're not quite in the autumn yet, but we're in, you know, in September, and it's changing that way. People feel a little bit more, a little bit lighter. There's also then the parents that have had their children on summer holidays, and as lovely as that was, I hear from a lot of my friends, I'm glad for the routine to come back. With all that being said, and kind of looking at it with that perspective, I think I definitely, and being a coach myself with careers and things, I've been speaking to my clients and speaking to my social network about, okay, this is a time for you now. A lot of the summer is spent on family, children, etc. But okay, how do I put myself first? So have you had instances where, you know, in September there is a really big refocus, or even have you got any advice for, yeah, actually it is a good time of the year to get yourself kind of,
No, it's like I've been so busy for the last month. Like it actually starts in August. You know, people are thinking that way. They're getting ready for September, which is the new January. And we've seen it all over social media. We see it in the media that everyone's kind of talking about September being the new January. And, you know, it can sound a little bit cliche, but it's actually reality, because like that, people have had the summer with or without kids at home, but they've had a whole summer of non-routine, of, you know, being on holidays, jumping here, visiting family, doing this, doing that, maybe stepping back from work a little bit. Now they're revamping and they have all this kind of pressure coming in, maybe from work about the end of the quarter, the last quarter of the year, and we're going to do this, we've got to hit our targets. You have the pressure of the kids, some kids coming back to school or starting school afresh. You also then have like the seasonal element of it, like, you know, coming from summertime, like I'm looking at the window and it's lashing rain here, and all the elements that go with that. So yeah, it really is, it is a change of season, and it's a change of season for us and our families and our homes and our brains. And I think we should try and go with that as much as possible, because we are feeling probably a little bit better and lighter than we will come January 1st, as you say. So, you know, go with it, I say. If you are feeling that you want to set up a routine, if you're feeling that you want to tackle that spare bedroom or the playroom or whatever room it is in your house, or get yourself all organized in your home office, you know, all prepared for the last quarter, do it, you know, because if you're feeling good about something, if your desire to do something is there, you know, it's going to be so much more beneficial for you when you actually do, compared to a different time of the year when you feel like it's more like a chore. Yeah. So it really is about your well-being. You know, it's kind of jumping on that bandwagon a little bit. I know it can be quite, you know, a lot can get pushed out of, you need to do this, you need to do that, whatever. But whatever you feel comfortable with doing, I really think you should do it, because especially women, we're conditioned to look after everybody else so much more, except for ourselves. You know, we're always putting everybody else first, you know, whether it's the children, the partner, the extended family, you know, everything, you know, and we let ourselves kind of be in the background and we don't look after ourselves. But September is a lovely time to kind of go, you know what, I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to refocus on myself, my well-being, my mindset. I want to do things that are going to work well for me and my family for the next 3 months in the run-up to Christmas. Because once it gets to Christmas, once it gets to December, it's just, you know, mental, absolutely mental, you know. So, you know, and as women, we predominantly, and there are studies to show this, you know, we end up doing most of the housework. We end up doing way more physically in the home than, say, if we had a male partner. And taking time for ourselves feels like a luxury. Now, when people talk about self-care and well-being, it doesn't have to be a trip to the spa. It doesn't have to be, you know, going for coffee or getting our nails done, whatever it is that floats your boat. It sometimes can be just getting that order and that organization back into our lives. And for many people, it is the home. So I would always say, first of all, schedule schedule it in. Start, if you're thinking this way, sit down, look at your diary and go, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do a room over a week. I'm going to do the house over the whole month. I'm whatever it may be, schedule that time down and give yourself the luxury to go no to everything else. I can't do that because I have put this in my diary and I'm going to do it. The second thing I would say is start small. Don't go in and just start ripping out the whole wardrobe or the whole room and whatnot. Like, okay, I can do that. And that's what I'm trained in and I'm qualified to do that.
Yeah.
A lot of people start the process and then become hugely overwhelmed. And next thing, they're sitting amongst everything. You've seen all the pictures and people are like, oh my God, don't do that. Start small. Start with a drawer. Start with a shelf. Start with one cupboard. And get through that. Take out the things you don't want anymore. Take out the things that don't fit. Take out the things that are broken. Take out the things that don't live in that space that shouldn't be in there in the first time. And then make a decision about what you're going to do with them. Are you going to donate them to a charity shop, to friends, family? Are they so broken they just need to go to the bin? Do I need to bring them to a recycling center? Do I need to actually, maybe this piece of clothing can be repaired, or this is now a summer item that the weather has changed, so I'm going to put that away under the bed or some other place for next year. Make all those decisions bit by bit, but very, very small amounts. You know, just don't go hell for leather because it's not enjoyable then. You know, you really want to enjoy what you're doing as well, you know. And don't feel guilty about having that time to yourself, whatever it may be. Like, it's more than just tidying. It's about setting yourself up in a way that, you know, will work for you and your whole family as well. So, you know, as I say, it's really about, it's not a luxury is what I'm saying. It should be something that, you know, you gift yourself every week in some shape or format, you know, and make sure that you have those boundaries there. Like, it's a, I suppose you could say it's like a little bit of like self-respect as well, you know.
It is, yeah, I get that. Yeah,
it really is. Like, it's not, you know, we're people, we're human. Yeah. You know, things are going to get messy. They're going to get untidy. But as I say, like, don't talk negatively. Don't think bad about it. Just kind of go, right, okay, I'm going to do this now. I'm going to give myself the time to organize this. Why? Because it's going to make me happy. It's going to make my family happy. It's going to, you know, and it only take, you know, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it may be. But it's, when we talk about boundaries, it's not always just about people, you know, people invading our space or people taking our time away from us. It can actually be things as well. Like, you know, let's be realistic about what's coming into the house every week. You know, are we excessive shopping for trinkets and things like that we think, oh, that'd be a good idea. That might, you know, come in use. But in reality, do we ever use it? Does it get shoved in behind the back of a press, taking up space, you know? So let's think about boundaries, about the amount of items that are coming into our home as well, and the items that we decide to keep in our home as well. So,
Yeah, I think that's a really good tip, because there can be times where, you know, you have a relationship with things. Mm. Some things are sentimental, some things you splurge and it's like, that made me happy in the moment, but actually I have it now and what the hell do I do with it? Or you have things that have been through life with you. But not necessarily for any sentimental reasons. I've had it for a long time, so I'll just keep hold of it. And actually, when you take that, like you say, chip away at something, it doesn't have to be a right now job. It's okay, well, today I'm going to look at my underwear drawer.
Yeah,
just came to my head, whatever it is, my jewelry, you know, loads of costume jewelry I've had that's just tangled together and I just leave it and I'm just like, I just could get rid of this or donate it, send it to a charity shop. But it's just stuff, and that stuff, like what you're saying, really does have an overall relation to well-being and to mindset, because you go in, you're like, oh, I've had that. And it brings you back to maybe where you were when you got it, or it's very relative, the piece, whatever it is, to how it makes you feel. And I think understanding that and then knowing why you want to keep it or why you need to move it or get rid of it is, you know, very, very important. And it gives those layers to what you're talking about. You know, you could say, okay, yeah, well, you know, I can tidy my house at any point and I can do it by myself. Well, the reality is not all of us can, and these things get to us and we just don't know what to do about them or with them. So the way you've put it into relativity about how it, a product or a piece or whatever it is, actually has a deeper meaning, a deeper feeling on how we get through a day. You know, you can come in, you can be like, okay, I have all this stuff, this crap. I don't know what use it is to me, but I just have it and I'm not sure what to do about it. And I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah. And they say, like, in kind of average household, we have 30,000 items in our house. Oh, so that's 30,000, and we make at least 35,000, I think it is, decisions every day.
Wow.
Unconsciously. So, like, we have so much going on in our brains and we have so much in our homes. And, you know, I wouldn't want to count up the amount of stuff I have in my house either. Like, I'm not perfect by any means. I have loads of trinkets and bits and bobs and going, oh, that'd be really useful, that'd be really handy. Now, I do try out and source products and stuff like that for my clients as well. So I'm always looking at things. But, like, we've got so much going on in our brains. We've got so much to do. We're time poor. You know, we've all these decisions we're making unconsciously every day. Our brain is fatigued. And then to come home in the evenings and go look at the house and go, oh, I have to do all this now as well. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot to put on ourselves and unnecessarily. So if you're in that ability that you can go and take some of those items out of our house that you don't use, that are broken, okay, they may have sentimental value and that's fine. And we're allowed to hold on to things. Like, I don't go in to someone's house and just go, right, all this has to go. Like, I'm not that kind of person, because I have memory boxes in the attic space behind me, and I've two or three in there from when I was a child up to now. I've ones for my son, my husband has his own as well. I'm all for having stuff, but everything in your house has to have a home, and not everything has to be out on display either, you know. So yeah, I do believe in storage and good storage that's durable, that lasts, that's appropriate for the items. But I also believe in going, okay, well, if you've not used that piece of thing over there, or if that, okay, it's somewhat sentimental, but actually, you know, I don't really want it or need it more, then yes, it does. It has to go, and free up space in your brain, free up space in your house, and give you that sense of calm, you know, not chaotic, not, you know, just as the people say, organized chaos. We don't want that. We want it to be calm. We want to have a sanctuary in our home. We want it to be functional, but also a place where you can recuperate and rest and, you know, have all those good endorphins when you come through the door after work or being away somewhere on holidays and come back to your home and not be like, oh, I have to do this, that, and the other. We don't want that. We want to have as many good moments in our home as possible. So,
yeah, I think that's so true. I think your home is your sanctuary, and making it how it needs to work for you, and also how you want it to work for you, is so important. So all those amazing things you've just said, I can completely relate, and I'm sure many people listening to this as well can relate. I think one of my last kind of questions to you would be, obviously this is something you've had a passion for a very, very long time. You've now had a business doing exactly this for a year. What would be your biggest kind of takeaways from a client point of view? You know, maybe those things that, you know, have been a big challenge for clients that you thought, actually, I wasn't expecting that as much as I thought when I walked into this business. I'd love to know that. Has there been any big challenges that you weren't expecting?
I wouldn't say there's any challenges with clients at all. You know, as I say, I've been there, I've gone through it, I really understand the power of it. It is a service I'm giving, and it is, you know, it's a luxury service at the end of the day as well.
Yeah.
I do believe that professional organizers growing, it's huge in America, it's big in the UK as well, but it's really growing here in Ireland as well. And while it is, I suppose, a bit of a luxury service on paper, it actually is really something that is getting outsourced an awful lot more. And it's not necessarily, people always assume I'm going to these big, beautiful houses and there's big pantries and this, that, and the other. And it's not. It goes from all different walks of life, all different types of clients for so many different reasons. And it's a case of, like, I recently did, like most people, it's to get their own home in order and to work for them. But I was literally with an older lady there recently who wanted me to declutter her attic and reorganize things that were there. So take some away, some were donated, and some were moved to other spaces. because, you know, for a really practical reason, you know, she was going to be getting a carer to move in and live with her, and she needed space for that person. So, you know, sometimes it is about aesthetics and big, beautiful this, that, and the other. And sometimes it's down to really, really practical. I need someone to move in with me and help and to be able to stay overnight. And that's why we need this room. So the reasons maybe, you know, I haven't been surprised by the different types of clients, but maybe some of the reasons why they're doing it, because I do it so I can feel calm and in control. And, you know, that's why I organize, and I get distracted if I see things around me and I don't focus as well. I need structure in my life. That's how I operate. Mm-hmm. And I suppose I did start, and I know that can be a helping thing for other people. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to do this. But as I've met all the different clients over the year, it's some of the reasons why they're doing it is actually like, oh yeah, God, I never thought about it that way. You know, I've helped a family who had a bereavement as well. A couple actually at this point now. And it's a case of, you know, the logic behind that is, you know, obviously, you know, the house has been sold and we needed to move the things either onto other family memories or they needed to be let go of. So there's so many different reasons why people look for my support. And as I say, it's becoming a bigger thing in Ireland, and it's an element of, you know, we outsource so much of our lives in other areas that is second nature. You know, people have cleaners come in, people, you know, come and wash their windows, people outsource even getting their milk delivered to the door every week. And professional organizing is another one of those outsources that we can do. If you are time poor, if you don't have the ability to start on your own, if you just feel it's too overwhelming, if you feel like, okay, I'm good at this, but I want a fresh set of eyes on something to see if I could do it in a different way that actually would make things even easier for them. You know, a lot of people who actually hire me are quite organized themselves. They just want me to come in and kind of tweak things for them to just make that functionality even better, or just have different ideas than they would have thought of. I lost my train of thought there. Sorry. The reason why is, people are outsourcing more of that. And that's interesting.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. You know, as I pose that question, I think that's the answer you've given is brilliant. You know, as I kind of unpack all of that, I think about anybody listening to this, because on paper, you know, at first view, it's maybe that isn't for me. Maybe that is somebody in a luxury lifestyle that, you know, wants all of those nice things I've seen on the TV or I've seen through Instagram of the boxes and this and that. But you've mentioned, you know, people have come to you because they've wanted to recenter a feeling of family at mealtime and how to do that. People that have been through bereavement and need help from maybe a non-biased and an outsider, because it's too emotional, it's too heavy to do it by yourself. And I get that. I think a lot of people can relate to that and have been through it and understand how heavy that can be. Yeah. And then also, you know, being a very organized person, I can relate to this. And then if anything is not the way I had planned it in my head, it makes me so anxious. Yeah. So I, you know, family, bereavement, through your own kind of, and I'll say this about me because I can only speak for myself, but through my own kind of OCD anxiety and how I've learnt myself, and will take tips from today of, it's okay, I'll get to it later. Do you know what? I finished my meeting there. I've got a 20 minutes break. I'm going to go and do a little something and I'll come back to it again. And it kind of gives me, I've achieved something. I know I need to maybe go back to it, but I know I've done a certain amount.
You've started. At least you've started, and you've reframed that thought process of being negative
to
yourself to a more positive one. And all we can do is just keep building on that, you know, and setting up those, sketching that time, setting up those systems to make it easier for yourself that we can dip in and dip out when it suits us in our busy lifestyles.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think that there's nothing we can give more to anybody listening to this right now that maybe had doubts about, okay, well, is this for me or not? I think how you've explained it, the kind of quick summary that I've done, and also what I really want to just, a big takeaway is the well-being and a positive mindset that can be taken from it. You know, how we do speak negatively towards ourselves in certain circumstances when we're in a certain environment, but that doesn't have to be the way. Just because we've experienced that, we can change it by adapting through some of the skill sets that you've just, you know, and those kind of tweaks that you've alluded towards today. So I think there's a lot to take away. And that was my ambition with this podcast, is making what you do as a service, helping people understand further that this is for everyone. It's not It's not for a certain customer with a certain lifestyle or anything like that. It holds no boundaries. You know, it's for lots of different reasons and lots of different people. So that for me is something that I wanted to kind of get across as well. And I think definitely for everything you've explained, that's very, very clear. So thank you.
Yeah, and like the more clients I have, the more different people I work with, you know, from a mum to busy professionals to someone who's bereaved, someone's moving home. You know, when I meet people at talks and events I do, it is for everybody. And, you know, it doesn't matter about where you live, the size of your house, the budget you have, the room you want to take care of. You know, it really is something that can make such a positive impact to anybody's life from any type of person whatsoever. And as a result of that, the more different people I've met, and, you know, obviously along with seasons of the year and time of the year and things like that, I've started to write a lot more guides and kind of how-tos.
Yeah.
I have a lot of kind of free elements in there. So I would encourage your listeners, if they want to follow me on Instagram at A Good Moment Company, in the link in my bio, I have lots of kind of free checklists and how-to guides. Like I've one here I just wanted to show here. This is a little... six simple steps to shave an hour off your morning. If you're, you know, getting out that door and it's not fun, let's say, if it's not fun, it's stressful, if people are shouting, if there's things everywhere, like I have lots of these little guys that will help you to go, right, if I implement these six little things now, that's going to shave at least an hour of my morning, you know, and who couldn't do it an hour back, you know, in their lives. So
exactly.
Yeah, lots of tips and tricks. If they want to follow me on Instagram or go to my website, there's tons of information up there that can help people as well.
I think there's very, very, if at all, anybody that wouldn't absolutely, you know, run at that chance of trying to gain time back. It's so precious. And if you can do that, then yes. So, yeah, with that being said, thank you so much for your time today, Jenny. I've absolutely loved it. Learned more. I thought I knew quite a lot from you about what you do from our previous talk, but definitely kind of just really added to that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was lovely to talk to you. I love these kind of, you know, situations where, you know, and especially like you're a certain type of personality, and the questions you ask, you know, it's really, I love having the chats. Yeah. Well, I am, you know, passionate about it. And so, yeah, any opportunity I can get to talk, I do.
Yeah. And like I said at the top, it's exactly that. People buy into people as well. And I think you can see your genuine passion for it. And the fact that, you know, the relativity and how you got to here as well, it kind of makes the whole process just, okay, I want some of that too. I can relate to that. So yeah, absolutely brilliant. What I'll do for anybody listening, this will be broadcasted on YouTube and on Spotify, and I will link all of Jenny's socials, her Instagram, website, and anything else so that you can get in touch directly. And yeah, just finally, thank you again, Jenny, and we'll speak soon.
Thanks, Claire. Bye.